Welcome back, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction, and I am your host, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. Doing an in-depth study, if you will, on Colossians. We'll eventually get to Ephesians. We're rejoicing in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, where Paul talks about the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. This mystery is, of course, the kingdom of God that has come in Christ Jesus. God reigns on the earth. So everything that the Old Testament predicted regarding the kingdom or the reign of God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now again, mystery, hidden if you will, but it's really an open secret. You and I, we who have been converted by the preaching of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit, we get it. We understand it. Those who are not converted, they don't get it. It's just a total, it's a secret, if you will. And it's scandalous. I want to just say a few more words on this, showing you from the New Testament what Jesus says. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, and it's verse 11, Jesus says, you know, the knowledge, listen carefully, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. And these are the disciples that he's talking to, the believers, his hangers-on, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's the secrets? It's Jesus and how he saves sinners. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4, all right, and it's verse 11. And here you have Jesus says, he says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. What's the secret? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation of the world through his death, well, through his ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Let me look at one more. Romans chapter 16, and it's verses 25 to 26, where Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, I hope this is making sense. All right? And I suppose, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but let me look at this. We didn't read it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, and it's verses 3 to 5. And here Paul writes that, well, let's start at verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Again, what's a pastor for? To preach the gospel for you, to make sure that you're certain that God justifies you freely by his grace for Christ's sake. Well, in any event, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this is verse 4, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. We talked about this in the first episode today when we looked at verse 25 of Colossians 1. All right. Hidden from ages and generations, verse 26. Well, in Israel, that was the nation entrusted with the oracles of God. Paul talks about this in Romans 3, 2, into whose life, history, and worship the coming of the Christ cast shadows before him to prefigure and announce his coming, namely the entire Old Testament, as Jesus says in Luke 24, was a prefigurement, if you will, to Jesus. Now again, I said shadows for a reason, because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, you know, whether it's a religious festival, new moon celebration, Sabbath day, Paul says these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. All right, let's move on a little bit. In verse 28, Paul says, "We proclaim him, namely Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." Well, just a quick comment here. The mystery of the gospel, that is to say, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the flesh and his death on the cross and his resurrection, therefore all people. These are gifts of God for all people, including Gentiles. Not just Jews, but also Gentiles. And again, I think there's another reason why Paul probably says this is because, you know, there's this tendency within the church here at Colossae to create what I talked about last week, this exclusive clique within the church, namely that, you know, Jesus didn't die for everybody. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And I think that's why Paul's talking about this, okay? All right, now let's move on to chapter 2. Yeah, we've got plenty of time. Let's do this. Paul says, "I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Again, nothing can supplement Christ when it comes to salvation. Okay, he's it. And by the way, this language of treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you know, this will help you understand when you read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and this is wisdom literature in the Old Testament. See, Christ in his person personifies wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so when you hear the words of Christ, you know all of God's wisdom. You see? Well, that's just to whet your appetite. That'd be a whole nother study. But my point is that the treasures of all of God's wisdom are hidden in who? Christ. And not just any Christ, but it's the crucified Christ. You know, the offense, the scandal of the cross. There's the wisdom of God. But, you know, again, we know the secret. It's an open secret, if you will. Now, what I want to do is, we've got a few more minutes. Let's go to chapter 6. I can't talk. Colossians 2, verse 6. Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." When it comes to salvation, it's only Christ. No philosophy, no human wisdom, it's only Christ. Verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ." If you think that circumcision has to supplement the work of Christ, well, Paul blows that out of the water here, doesn't he? Because everybody in Christ's circumcision, now everybody has been circumcised, and it's all fulfilled. There is no need of it anymore. Hopefully we'll talk about that more later, but let's look at verse 12. "Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead." Verse 13, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ." Notice who does the verbs here. It's God. That's certain and sure when it comes to salvation. God raises the dead. That's a way of talking about salvation. "So God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." What's the secret? God reigns. God reigns in Christ, the God-man dead on the cross. That's the kingdom of God. Now see, that's the open secret we know. Verse 16, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Nothing can supplement Christ. Got it? Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost connection with the head, and that's Christ, the head of his body, the church. And so Paul says, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Well, that was the rest of chapter 2. Now, let me just make a few comments on this, and this will conclude this segment for today. You know, Paul, he's going to help the church. He's going to nourish the church. He's going to strengthen the church with a weapon, if I can use that language. It is who? It is Christ Jesus. So, you know, in verses 6 and 7, you know, Paul bids the Colossians to base their whole existence on who? On Jesus Christ. Jesus is the soil in which they have strong roots, roots that can't be pulled up, if you will, from which they continue to draw nourishment and strength. Jesus, only Jesus, is the foundation on which the growing structure of their life rests and grows. Only in Jesus Christ. And I can't emphasize this enough because this is Paul's point. Only in Jesus Christ do they have, the Colossians, the firmness of faith which Paul rejoiced to see. And it is established only in Jesus Christ, the Christ that they know and for whom they continually give thanks to God the Father. Now in verse 6, when Paul says, received, as just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, the proper object of received is the gospel. I'm going to say that again. The proper object of received is the gospel, or the word of God. And the gospel is the one that has power to give life, as Paul says in Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of salvation, and it bestows what it proclaims. And so to receive the gospel is to receive who? It's Jesus Christ. Gospel, when you're saying gospel, you're saying Jesus. When you're saying Jesus, you're saying gospel. It's that simple. Paul also says in verse 6 that you continue to live in him. Now, literally, you know, the word here translated live, it literally in the Greek is walk. So, you know, it could be better translated continue to walk with or in him. All right. And Paul uses this just like you would see it in the Old Testament, which is what Paul's way is talking about your entire life. And it's in Jesus. And so it's always Christ-centered. Everything is Christ-centered. And you know, as I was talking about this, there's one thing that I forgot to bring up in chapter 1. I forgot all about... you know, we talked about the mystery. No, it was chapter 2, the mystery. I forgot to mention this. I'm going to say this really quickly. I think it's, yeah, Christ, the mystery of Christ. Or wait, I'm losing my mind here. You know, the mystery is that Christ is in you. Yeah, which is chapter 1, verse 27. I forgot to talk about that. Yeah, I also said among you. That's Paul's way of talking about the divine service. And I hinted at that. But I wanted to call that to your attention. The mystery, again, of Christ is on the cross, and then there's also this mystery of Christ dwelling among us in his word and sacrament by which he reigns on the earth. I didn't make that connection, I don't think, very well, but I hope I did this time. So back to chapter 2, living in him, literally to walk in him. And that's the indication, again, of the Christ-centeredness of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and that you can't supplement anything. Christ cannot be supplemented. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay Lutheran, my friends.